singing a song.
Nothing but bluebirds.
Happy bluebirds all day long. Never saw the sun
shine so bright. Never saw things.
In case the economy or even the holidays are getting you down, you might want to go see Irving Berlin's White Christmas, now playing at the Marquee Theater on Broadway. I can guarantee you'll leave the theater humming at least one of the show's many memorable tunes. With me now are two of its stars, Stephen Bogardus, who plays Bob Wallace, and Kerry O'Malley, who's playing Betty Haynes. And I'm pleased to welcome them to our show. Hi.
Great to be here, Lon.
It's amazing just how many hit songs Irving Berlin wrote. In this production of White Christmas alone, there's not only the title song, but also Count Your Blessings, I Love a Piano, I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm, Blue Skies, How Deep is the Ocean. Were all of them written for the original 1954 movie?
No. That's one of the things about this production is we've added extra songs that weren't in the movie. One of the examples is that How Deep is the Ocean is interpolated into Love You Didn't Do Right by Me. It's just Love You Didn't Do Right by Me in the movie, but we've added this great sort of internal monologue for Bob in the show.
And we've swapped out songs that are in the movie that are not in the musical.
Right.
Because they just haven't lasted? They haven't had any lasting impact?
No, I think it was just when Walter Bobby, the director, and David Ives and Paul Blake, the writers, were working on this new... It's a different medium. I mean, this is a live medium on stage. And they just thought these songs would work better, and the story is not fudged, but there's some different plot twists to it.
Yeah.
Well, you do have the same composer.
Absolutely.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we had added a trio for the women, Falling Out of Love Can Be Fun, which is really fun, sort of like Sing for Your Supper from Boys from Syracuse. We took out the choreography number from the movie, and now I Love a Piano is a 7-minute tap extravaganza. So there's been some great changes.
Well, it does seem like perfect material for a Broadway musical, and yet it hasn't been one until now. You have to, but three movies in effect, right? There are two White Christmas movies, and then they were a remake of Holiday Inn in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's extraordinary. Over 50 years, it's been since the movie. Since White Christmas, Holiday Inn before that,
right.
And here we are in the 2000s, finally getting around to putting it on stage.
You both are too young to have been around when Irving Berlin was composing songs, but. Had you both been fans of the music before, or is there a generational gap Irving Berlin is involved?
I'm a huge Irving Berlin fan. I love him. And I also have been lucky enough to do Annie Get Your Gun on Broadway, another Irving Berlin show. I'm also the daughter of a barbershop singer who sings a lot of Irving Berlin songs. So it's been part of my musical growing up.
And I think if you have a career that goes into the musical theater, you can't help but be exposed to Berlin.
Jerome Kern once said that Berlin had no place in American music. He was American music.
Such a great quote.
Yeah. Just the marriage of lyric to music is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And he wrote both. And what makes him so great? What is it about that merging of lyric and music? Is it because it sounds so natural that he never seems to be straining for a rhyme?
Yeah, and I think there's an emotional transparency to it. It's the songs sort of sing themselves. You don't ever feel like you have to work at putting it across. You just sort of have to get out of the way. I think he is really just one of the easiest ones to do. I mean, it's just, you just have to get out of the way.
Yeah, they're really poignant. The tunes can be so simple, and they're fast. I mean, the song is over before it starts almost. It's just an A-A-B-A, but they're quick songs. They're only a couple minutes long, most of them, as they were originally written. But, excuse me, boy, do they pack a wallop when you get to the end.
They're very emotional.
Well, he does change an awful lot over his career. You go from Alexander's Ragtime Band to songs like I Hear Music and There's No One There, quite a big gap. But here you probably had to pick songs that all were from a certain era, written around the same time.
I don't know about that. I don't know where they all come in the space.
Yeah, I don't know what years they were written.
I don't know if they limited themselves to that, but he certainly was a hit machine and knows how to write a really catchy tune.
Well, Stephen, you said that... You thought that the songs were poignant, and And White Christmas sure has a kind of melancholy, doesn't it? I mean, we associate it with Christmas. It is the best-selling record of all time, Bing Crosby's version, 125 million copies. And yet there's a lot of melancholy and sadness in this song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is.
And I actually believe his son died on Christmas Eve, his infant son. I mean, he had a lot of tragedy in his life, the loss of his wife. So I think that sort of mournful quality is there in his music, as well as tremendous joy, which I think is one of the great things about our show, is that it's basically 2.5 hours of joy.
Yeah. And in our version, of course, White Christmas is originally set on the front in Europe with these war guys and Bob Wallace and Phil Davis entertaining the troops, the song is set up by another army guy going, "This will put you right back in front of your fireplaces," and it is, there's a sort of melancholy and a longing for Christmas at home.
Now, how did he achieve that? Did he write a lot of songs in minor keys?
I think that's part of it, surely. I think it's his musical heritage. You hear that sort of, I don't know if it's that European, mournful, I don't know, I'm not entirely sure. I think that's a question for Rob Berman.
Yeah, we're not the musicologists, unfortunately. If we had Rob Berman here, our music director, he could really expound on this for you.
Right.
This isn't the first time you've performed White Christmas. How many productions have you been in together doing this?
This is our third. We did Boston 2005 and St. Paul 2006. He took a year off in 2007, but I did it again in Boston 2007, and now we're back on Broadway.
Is it difficult singing songs that people are so familiar with? Because if you just sing them straight, then there's the tendency of people in the audience to sing along. I'm not sure.
Well, we do ask them to sing along at one point. We do ask them to join us in White Christmas at the end. But I think White Christmas is certainly tied to Bing Crosby, but I don't think the other songs in the show are definitive performances that we have to worry about.
Yeah. But nobody is tempted to go blah, 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 and break into a whistle.
No, just the opposite. I try to get out, as Carrie said earlier, you try to get out of the way of the songs, and it's not like you have to do a song styling of it. You're doing it in the context of our play, so that's different.
Yeah, we're perhaps playing characters.
Perhaps if we were doing it in a cabaret setting, we might bring a little more, ooze to it or something.
Yeah, because when Bob and Betty are performing, there's an opportunity to really perform the songs. But when Bob and Betty are just singing in character in a book scene, that wouldn't really make sense to be doing a lot of stylization.
And my guests are Bob and Betty. Betty is Kerry O'Malley, and Bob is Stephen Bogardus, both performing in Irving Berlin's White Christmas at the Marquis Theater. In the Marriott Marquis Hotel, or as my friends call it, the Marquis de Sade Hotel, because it's such a brutal architecture. But anyway, that's a whole other matter. Running now through January 4th, and you can get all sorts of ticket details on our show page at WMIC.org. And the play, for the second week in a row, is the biggest grossing play on Broadway,
that's
and yet
right.
You're closing on January 4th. Why? Because you've tied it so much to the season?
It's a holiday engagement, and then the theater is booked for another show.
Both its beauty and its curse is that it's called White Christmas, and I think once you get by Christmas, people seem to think, oh, okay, well, that's not a show we're supposed to see now, but it is a show that could run year-round.
Yeah, it's not about the holidays. It takes place at the holidays, but it's not about Christmas. So that's kind of
an event that takes place.
Yeah.
How did the two of you get involved in this, Carrie? The Wall Street Journal has praised you as being downright fabulous, which, of course, must have made you feel happy.
That was pretty nice.
You do read the reviews? Because a lot of actors tell me they don't read reviews, even if they're positive.
I have read them on this show because it's my fourth year doing it, so I pretty much know what to expect. I don't read them on all shows. Sometimes I'll read them after I close. Reviews can be utterly devastating. They can really affect your performance. They can get in your head.
Even positive ones.
Even
say,
positive
she
ones.
Delivers this line so well, and then you start thinking, how am I delivering that line?
Absolutely. But I think because it's my fourth year on this show, I was a little safer in that sense. But
it's a dangerous road to go down if you read your reviews.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared to for them to have a psychological impact that you don't even expect to happen, but it definitely does.
This is your first Berlin show, but you've been in Love, Valor, Compassion, Falsettos, West Side Story.
Yeah.
You've had the full range.
Well, I got to work with Bernstein, which was great. I did a lot of stuff with Leonard Bernstein, and that was a great way to kick off my career with my Broadway debut and the revival of the 1980 West Side Story. And, my first Berlin. I don't know if there'll be another, but...
Of course there will.
Does one teach you something about the other? Because you're moving backwards through history.
It's true. They're completely different composers, and what they have to say is different too. And you just tackle each one as their own entities. But Sondheim, Bernstein, Berlin,
and Carrie, you've had that. Well, you've done both Berlin, as you pointed out, with Annie Get Your Gun. But you were also in the 2002 Tony-winning revival of Into the Woods.
Right. I think the big difference is Stephen Sondheim's characters, and of course whoever is his book writer on the show, James Lapine in that case, are much more conflicted. They have a lot more ambivalence, and they're working things out in a way that's different from the characters in White Christmas. Things are a lot more black and white in White Christmas.
Well, because both of your characters have good intentions but wind up arguing because of misinformation. This is kind of a classic romantic setup. And because it's set in the 50s, we are willing to go along with it. There's no cynicism, no self-mockery here.
Yeah, yeah. Which is refreshing, not only, I think, for an audience, but for us. So many of the shows now are very self-referential about showbiz, and this is just a very honest, open story about generous people doing generous things for each other.
Did you look? I'm sure you've seen the film. So Stephen, you're playing Bing Crosby's part, and Carrie, you're playing Rosemary Clooney's part, aren't you?
Yeah, it's such an honor.
Yeah. But when I looked at the film, I just wanted to get a sort of feel for the difference between the two, to some extent, so that if I got into an interview, I might be able to talk about the difference between the two shows. And then I just let it go. I said, "Well, Bing is Bing, and Steve is Steve, and I'm never going to be Bing, and Bing is never going to be Steve, and let's just keep it at that."
Although it was a long time ago when he did it, so the distance probably helps. And there are a lot of people, I'm sure, younger people who come to the show who don't even know the movie.
Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Bing had a great ease with the, just an ease with the way he portrayed this character, and it seemed sort of effortless, and that's the one thing I took from his performance that I try to bring to this one.
Yeah, I mean, I always say we're just both very fortunate that they're not available to play these parts.
Well, it is interesting that you're doing, effortless or not, you're doing not 8 but 9 performances a week.
Yeah. Brutal.
They're just really squeezing it out of you, aren't they?
We're in the midst of basically 21 shows in a row with no day off because we had some publicity. We did Good Morning America on Monday and another event, so it's pretty intense. But it's like, it'll be over so soon, we don't want it to end, so just enjoy
it. We're sort of in
a
haze at this point.
And unlike most musicals today, you have a large orchestra in the pit.
Oh, 24 pieces. It's absolutely glorious. Best band on Broadway. I mean, it is just a thrill because you get that real big band sound, and they're amazing. Rob Berman is just a wonderful, wonderful musician.
They're a great support. They're sort of the unsung heroes of our show.
Yeah.
So do you think that people like the idea of a traditional musical, something that doesn't have modern day cynicism?
Well, boy, it's sure working this year in an unintended way
with
the economy the way it is. And our message is pretty simple, just, you know, good people doing nice things for others. And
yeah, there seems to be a real hunger for it this year. And it's just making people very happy and makes us happy to perform it. It feels like a real gift that we get to give to New York.
Yeah.
But it also would suggest that I have totally lost that point. Wow, that was really interesting. Anyway, let me ask you about what you're going to do. I know what I was going to ask. Is this something that you're going to do every winter season? Are you blocking out next winter, or are you going to try to do other things?
Well, it's probably tricky from a producing standpoint.
They need a theater.
You need a theater.
Yeah.
And you're not going to take it for an extended run. You're You're just doing it for a holiday.
Well, what are you doing after January 4th, after the close?
Well, that's always... I'm working on a reading of a new version of The Unsinkable Molly Brown that Dick Scanlon has rewritten the book on, and so that should be fun.
And I'm going to finish renovating my son's room so he doesn't have to sleep on the sofa for another month.
Stephen Bogart is about to go do some renovations. He's still starring as Bob Wallace. 9 performances a week until January 4th. Kerry O'Malley is Betty Haynes. They're both in Irving Berlin's White Christmas, which is playing at the Marquee Theater now through the 4th. And if you want to know more about tickets, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us today. It's been a real pleasure talking
thank
with you.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
For
Such
having
a
us
fan.
Here. Yeah.
And it's Irving Berlin's White Christmas, a classic.